the blessing that he is in our life. And we think back in our life when we first heard about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit is kind of like a foreign entity out there. But then as we started the path of faith and trusting in God, we recognized that he really did come to save us from sin, you know, the sin that sometimes tempted by and give into, that Jesus came to give us the victory. And what a blessing that is. Tonight as we begin our prayer segment, maybe there's something that you're thinking about in your life, the things that are going on that you'd just like to surrender to God tonight. Just to cast them, cast your care, cast your concern upon the Lord, that you might work through those situations and let go of those trials and challenges that you face. So as we go to the Lord in prayer, we recognize he's all-powerful and all-knowing, and he knows those things that we have need of as we pray. So let's lift up your prayer to the Lord tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight as we gather in this building for the awareness that we can have of your presence, Lord, that you are our friend, that you are our companion in life, that you promised you would never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, we can recognize tonight as we gather as a group of people to come before you to praise your name, that for the many things that you've done on our behalf. We thank you, Lord, for your personal work in our life as we began that walk of faith with you, perhaps even many years ago, or maybe it's been just in recent days that we've yielded our lives to you. Lord, we thank you for the abundance of your grace that you have poured out in our lives, that just at that moment when we needed you, you came and you spoke to us. Lord, I thank you for the blessings that we have collectively as a church family, and for our friends and our family members. And Lord, we just ask that you would work in each of their situations in a special way as we looked at our prayer request as we came in. People that have need of healing in their life, to bring them before you, Lord, that you might touch them in a special way with your love and presence. Lord, for those going through dramatic times in their life, through maybe homelessness and turmoils and loss of jobs and different things like that, Lord, we would pray that you might help them know that you are someone that they can turn to and for the comfort that you can give. Lord, for those who are besieged by fire or earthquakes or different other disasters, natural things that have happened, Lord, we would just pray that you would be with them as they grieve the loss of home or security or shelter, Lord, that you might be that which they need at this time, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for opportunity to look at your word tonight and also to share in the Lord's Supper together. We'd ask your blessing as we share in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Pastor David, who's our interim pastor, for those of you who are guests tonight, is from Bly, and so he's not here every week, but we take turns sharing in the word, and he asked me to share on the Apostle Paul. He's been sharing on the disciples of Jesus, and we've been looking at Jesus and his relationship to those 12 men, and it's kind of interesting to see how he took groups of people, and he molded them and made them into a united force to change the world. And so Pastor David asked me to share on Paul. Oh man, that's quite a, this man, 20% of your Bibles is about Paul. Paul was quite a person. And as you think about some of the things that he did in his life, I put a scripture on your notes tonight. It's from Acts 20:26. And maybe you could take a look at those scriptures. If you have your telephones with you, you could look it up on your iPads or your smartphones and follow along in our study, or just use the hard copy of the paper that I handed out and think about it. The Apostle Paul was, that wasn't his real name, I guess, at the beginning of his life. He was called Saul, you know, and so as God changed his life, he also changed Saul's name. And I was thinking of the scripture as I, because it's pretty a dynamic scripture there in Acts 26. Paul was asked to give a defense for that which he believed in. And I don't know in your life if you've ever been asked to share, you know, with a family group. Maybe it was at a holiday time or a workplace. You know, what do you believe in? What, you know, what's your take on the Bible? We know the Bible is true. We know that from the beginning of time, the creation process that we have here, the history of how people succeeded in their relationship with God, we have here also accounts of how people failed in their relationship, how they did evil in the sight of God. So we have the portrayal of the history of mankind, but more of God's story, how he would want to impact people's lives. When I was young, there was this phrase, you know, be like Mike. And, I don't know which Mike they were necessarily always talking about, but I always thought Michael Jordan, you know, and you put a basketball in his hand and he could twirl it around and he could make shots from, you know, whatever you want, the three-point line. And he was a dynamic player. Some considered him the best in the world. And so as a young, you know, as a young adult, I was thinking, you know, oh boy, I wish I could be like Mike, you know. And I tried a few times and I injured myself trying to do all those acrobatic things. But sometimes, you know, there's people out there that you want to be like, you know, but you wish you could be like the postal carrier, you know, the mail person that brings you mail, walking all those miles every day, you had all that energy. Well, the Apostle Paul, as he was sharing his account of his faith, he was sharing it in front of kings and government officials. And I was thinking, man, that's a pretty unique opportunity. Most of us maybe don't have the opportunity to speak about our faith to royalty. But in reading through the book of Acts and books in chapter 25, there's such a description of the pomp and the circumstance and the way people were dressed and interacting with one another. Here's the Apostle Paul who's thrust into a place to give an account of his faith. And he was in chains, and so he came into that group and he gave an account of his faith. And he said, I wish that all of you were like me.
except for these chains. And I was thinking about that, that there's things in life that we wish we were like other people, or that other people were like us. Have you ever thought if the world was like us in the way that we lived our Christian faith? There's some things that we're chained by, you know, like, and sometimes it's the lack of knowledge, sometimes it's the lack of witnessing to others. There's things that we're burdened by, that we've been chained by in our life. And as I was viewing Paul's life, he was giving kind of a sermon saying, I wish that all of you were like me. As I was reflecting through this chapter, I was hearing the Apostle Paul giving his defense. He was always a Christian. He believed in God. And as we think about the outline that I passed out to you, there are some significant key phrases in this passage of Scripture that I want us to think about. The first one is, his statement was, I was a Pharisee in your life. You may not know all the different sects of the Jewish religion, but the aspect of being a Pharisee was someone that believed in doing things just so. Everything had to be order in their life. It had to be according to the law. In fact, in verse 4, as we look at Acts 26, Paul says, my manner of life from my youth, spent from the beginning among my own nation and in Jerusalem, is known by all the Jews. They have known for a long time, if they are willing to testify, that according to the strictest party of our religion, I live as a Pharisee. And now I stand here on trial because of my oath and the promise made by God to our fathers, to which our 12 tribes hope to obtain as they earnestly worship night and day. And for this hope I am accused by the Jews, O King. Why is it thought incredible by any of you that God raises the dead? I myself was convinced that I ought to do many things in opposing the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And I did so in Jerusalem. I not only locked up many of the saints in prison after receiving authority from the chief priests, but when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. And I punished them often in all the synagogues and tried to make them blaspheme. And in raging fury against them, I persecuted them even to the foreign cities. I was thinking of the Apostle Paul, that in his life he lived in rebellion against Christ. If you think back in your life, was there a point of reference that you lived in rebellion against God? It was like God wanted you to do something in your life and you recognized, well, this isn't something that I want to do in my flesh. And you went the opposite direction. You went in the opposite, to satisfy self or to appease someone else in your life rather than God. There are situations in life that when we make choices and as we grow up in life that we choose whether to serve God or we don't serve God. We recognize maybe in trying to be someone that we aren't, we hinder what God wants to do and make us into something that He desires us to make. Certainly our lives can be troubled by being in a place of rebellion. We think of what against God. We think of Philippians 3. I put that scripture in your notes tonight, that Paul was sharing his faith in regards to
his position in his faith in the Jewish religion. Further, my brother and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, as it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who were of the circumcision, which we serve God by His Spirit, who boast in Jesus Christ and put no confidence in the flesh, though I myself have reasons for such confidence. If anyone thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regards to the law of Pharisee, and as for zeal, persecuting the church, and for righteousness based on the law, faultless. He could have said, look at me, look at what I've done in my life. I've accomplished this on my own merit, on my own power, on my own persuasion, and I think I've got it all together. And sometimes that attitude leads us down the wrong path, because we recognize our own ability to accomplish things instead of what God wants to do. He wrote further on there in Philippians, beginning with verse 5 there, he says, if anyone thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, he had more. But then in verse 7 he says, but whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, I want to know the power of His resurrection and participate in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow obtaining to the resurrection of the dead. It's an amazing statement that Paul makes, that those things that I thought were important in life, those things that I would put my bottom dollar on, I consider them garbage compared to knowing Christ. It's something for us as we were singing that song, I Surrender All. I was thinking of those things that we hold on to in life, thinking that they're the most important things that we have. And that our expression of saying, okay, I can let go of them so I can hold on to Jesus in my life. Oh, Paul, instead of wanting people to be like him during his times of rebellion, he came to a point in his life saying, I wish I could be like Jesus. I wonder how that attitude would play out in our life if we could give a shout out in our life to those around us, I want to be like Jesus. Paul met Jesus on the road in the midst of going to Syria and Damascus to raise some more hellion with the people and persecute the Christians and put them in jails and torment their lives. He came to a place where he saw and met Jesus. The second point in your outline is, I saw the light. And verse 14, at midday, he explains to the king, I saw the way, on the way, a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, that shone around me and those who journeyed with me. And when they had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice saying to me, the Jewish language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It's hard for you to kick against the goats. And I said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. I was a few years old when the light bulb came on in my life. I grew up in a Christian family, and my family took me to church and gave me opportunity to sit in the back row at church and eat crackers during the preacher's sermon and play, work on different projects at church. And so it was kind of a casual thing, you know. The preacher would try his best to convince me to know about Jesus. Well, it was my Sunday school teacher in the sixth grade that took me aside and said, Steve, there's something missing in your life, and you need to think about it. Life is not all this fun and game stuff. You need to think about the God and his relationship. And so he cared enough about me, what I was going through, and searching for my identity and who I was, to take time to talk and share with me. And I don't know if you've had someone in your life that is a mentor or someone who can support you in your trying to answer some of your questions that you have, but it was really helpful as a young teenager going into adolescence of what I needed in my life and something that could help me. Well, I began that journey of seeking God. But then during high school, I got sidetracked, you know, with different things and issues in life. And it wasn't until I graduated from high school that I was going into college that the light bulb came in. I took a serious look at the Bible. I had never read the Bible. And I said, well, I need to check it out for myself to see if it's true, to see if it all works. And that was my light bulb time. Can you think of a time in your life when you saw the light? And it made the difference. Out of living in darkness and living in uncertain times, you came to grips with the truth and reality of Jesus. I was thinking of Corinthians, and I put a 2 Corinthians chapter 4 talks a little bit about this darkness and waywardness. It says, therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The light of the God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ, and ourselves as your servants for your sake. Paul was saying for many years he walked in darkness, that he had his eyes blinded and just couldn't see Jesus within the pages of this book. And probably that could be many of our stories, that there was a period of time we were in darkness. We couldn't see it. But then we recognized as God revealed the light of the gospel, we began to put the puzzle pieces of that had been
dim in our lives together so we could plainly see. So glad for the gospel of Christ. As we think about the gospel, it's just summed up in a simple phrase that in 1 Corinthians 15, according to the scriptures, Christ died. He took the punishment for our sin. He was buried and he rose on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Old Testament prophets foretold that this event would take place. The New Testament writers confirmed the accounts that it really did happen, that Christ took the punishment for his sins. I think of the amazing truth that is. And when I think of the sins that I've committed in my life, you try not to think about them because you realize as you become a Christian that God has dealt with that and you have victory over that. He came and he was the perfect sacrifice that God presented to mankind that could wash and cleanse the human heart, that could clean us of all the guilt and condemnation that we feel. But perhaps you have thought about your sinful life in the past. You recognize the darkness and shamefulness that can cause. Sometimes you can lay awake for periods of time trying to toss and turn and trying to come up, with a solution. Well, I wish I could take back this or that. I wish I could take back what I said to that person. Or you think, oh boy, that was some deed that I did that I just feel so dirty in my life. I wish I could be clean. Well, we recognize Jesus took that sin away, don't we? And we can say, hallelujah, that I'm clean. I don't live on my own, try to control myself in situations, but I allow God to do his dynamic work in my heart and work in his cleansing and renewal of my life. If you're shackled by a heavy burden, if you're chained tonight by a sin that has beset your life, bring it to Jesus tonight and let him set you free. This third aspect of the Apostle Paul's testimony, he was sharing, he heard a voice. He heard a voice. Sometimes people are so afraid to open up the Bible because, I don't know, last time that maybe you opened up the Bible to take a look at it, but with some people I've known in my life, they were so afraid of the Bible because if somebody put it on the shelf, and it was stuck on the shelf and they were afraid even to go over and to read it, to open it up. Because I asked them, why is your Bible there? And they said, well, I'm afraid what I might hear or read. I'm thinking tonight, as Paul was sharing his testimony, he heard Jesus' voice. He heard Jesus' voice. Thinking about that, we think of God's word and God's voice to us tonight and how special that is. That voice said, Paul, you're punishing yourself in your life. It's you that is being hurt. Why don't you just give up? The phrase was, Jesus said, you're kicking against the goads. A goad is a stick that shepherds use to guide the animals down the road. And Jesus said, Paul, wake up. You're only going to get hurt kicking these things.
And isn't that exactly true statement? Jesus probably has mentioned in some other phrases that very same thing to me in my mind. And I was trying to get my life toward God, and yet things were trying to influence me to go to church, fellowship. And I would say, no, I don't want to do that. It might change me. Sometimes we pick against things, we go against things that are there to guide us, that help us.
Well, I think as I've grown older in my faith, that it was important for me to yield rather than rebel against God. So in the fourth point, he said, I was not disobedient as I once was. He could probably, if we had a measuring stick tonight, we could all probably say that. I'm not like I once was in my life. I'm different, and I'm on a different path than I once was. What a joy that is, to change. Nothing to be afraid of, to thinking that we're going to miss out on something else in life. When we yield ourselves and say, okay, God, I want to be obedient to you. I want to trust you. I want to develop a relationship with you because of your plan for me. Then the fifth point was he was continued to this day, he said. He says, for when I met Jesus, I started that path, I continued that path, and I rejoice in that I moved on that path. So he gave this illustration to this king about his wife. And he got down to the dotted line. And Paul said, what about you and your wife? And King Agrippa made a statement. He said, in a short time you would persuade me to become a Christian. And I was thinking of Agrippa said, you almost convinced me I need to give my life over to God. But we find Agrippa having to deal with maybe a sense of what will other people think, or how am I going to make this work out in my life? And we find him remaining in the stage of being almost. He was almost a Christian. I was thinking of the other people in the Bible who were just almost a Christian. They had enough knowledge in their life through training, through understanding and seeing it in action in other people's lives, but yet couldn't sign on the dotted line saying, Jesus, I give myself to you. When I think of the Apostle Paul, he, as you read about his writings, he wrote, like I said, 20% of the New Testament, and he shared his faith with those who were underprivileged, those who were in despair. He shared his faith, whether they were kings or royalty, and he shared his faith for the purpose of helping others to become a Christian. I looked at verse 16, and I was thinking of what Jesus said to Paul when he met Paul on the road. He said, but rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose,
to appoint you as a servant and a witness to the things in which you have seen and to those things which I will appear to you, delivering you from your people and from the Gentiles to whom I'm sending you. And in verse 18 is a summation of what Jesus does in our lives. It says to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, and that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith. Maybe those words ring out to you today, that
what God has already done through Jesus Christ, and that he's opening your eyes, saying, hey, there's something about God. He's taking you from the darkness, from being in confusion, a state of confusion, and bringing you into a relationship with him as that he's clearly demonstrating his love. Maybe you've already sensed that he's given you power to overcome temptation when you're tempted at particular times. And he's given you a grace and a knowledge of his love for you, and that he's been there for you. Maybe you've already sensed that as he's doing that work, then he's telling you to stand before your feet and receive the anointing that I will give to you. The power of the Holy Spirit to move out, to witness in your neighborhoods, in your city, so glad for Paul's testimony, because it's an encouragement for each of us. Oh, I wish all of you were like me, except for Jesus. So we pray. Father God, we thank you tonight for the awareness that we have of the Apostle Paul's life. What a difference you've made in his life, from a person that wandered in darkness and was in outright rebellion against you, that in a moment you changed all of that into a person who was seeking your heart and who recognized that you forgave his sin and you cleansed him and help him to know the righteousness that comes from you. Lord, I thank you that you set him apart for work, and that he went to Turkey and Greece and Italy and all around the Middle East proclaiming Jesus to those who needed to hear the message. Lord, I pray for us tonight as we reflect upon Paul's story, that we might want to be like Jesus, that we might want to give way to yield our lives to him and allow him to work through us, to clear up some of the darkness to bring to light your grace. Lord, I pray your blessing upon us as we share and as we fellowship now about your table. And you help us to enjoy the fellowship of knowing Christ, his death, and his resurrection. In Jesus' name. Tonight we want to give you an opportunity to share in the communion. And this was for those of you new to the faith, this was something that Jesus did the last night that he was alive. He met with his friends and disciples and said, I want you to remember me when I come again. That you take the bread and drink it at the cup and remember my love. where we invite you to come and to take the little silly song together. And as that song is being sung, we'd like for you to come and take the bread and the cup and then give it to your seats and we'll take it all with that.
Kids at the fair, and I shared with them about
the truth of the gospel and get to a point where you have asked him, has anybody ever asked you if you would like to be, like to have Jesus in your life? And it was amazing for those kids that some of them, no one had ever asked them to have Jesus in their life. I'm going to ask you tonight. Sometimes I have forgotten to ask people. Has someone asked you in your life if you wanted to have Jesus in your life? You wanted to give your life to him and know him? Well, I pray tonight that someone has and I have. So if you want to talk about it, but right now, we're here to remember Jesus and how he came to help us to know that his forgiveness. Let's take a little breath as we think that him, the God in the cross. Also in the cup, we can almost see our reflection in it. Against the light of the moon, but we think of Jesus telling the disciples to do this in his remembrance, to be like him, to be sacrificial and love for others and giving himself. Can we be like Jesus as we think about his gift of himself to us?
The love of Father God and the fellowship of Jesus Christ and the blessings of the power of the Holy Spirit be in and among you and in days. God bless you. Thanks for being here today.